You're listening to Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Doug Hamilton with Ashley Thornburg, and Sue Balcom joins us today because it's Main Street Eats Day.
Sue Balcom joins us from her farm outside of Mandan, the Root Cellars Farm, once a week to talk about food. Sue, thanks as always.
Hey, thanks. You know, food's one of my favorite topics next to food. And you know, it kind of like finds me. I don't go out and search for these things. They just kind of find me. And that would include cookbooks. So I don't know how many cookbooks
do you have?
Oh, God. When I got married and moved out here to the country, I thought I can part with a few of my cookbooks. And, you know, I've been regretting that every day since. Yeah. But I do have a couple shelves full. It's a little easier now when you have an iPad that has a history or bookmark, so that some of my favorite recipes I can bookmark and keep them for later. And then some of my recipes that I forget to bookmark, I lose. And then I'm mad at myself searching forever in the great big World Wide Web and thinking, how can they just disappear? I do like hardcover. I like books. You know, I have a whole wall full of books in my house, and that's in addition to my cookbook shelf. And so as I was out, what was I doing? Oh, I buy essential oils from this place called Mountain Rose Herbs. And they just happened to send out one of those little newsletters that they do. And they talked about congee, which apparently Doug agrees with me. This probably is something that's been made with every twist and turn from every ethnic group on the whole planet, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I grew up with it. We didn't call it congee. We called it rice and chicken, you know. But I've been in other parts of the world where it's the comfort food.
We called it chicken and rice at our house.
Oh, okay. You turned it around.
On top of the rice.
How creative of you.
So what is it?
Well, it is rice porridge in simple terms, but it's supposed to be kind of medicinal. And one of the things, you know, people nowadays are talking all the time about gut health and gut bacteria. And apparently, congee is really good for you, keeps you regular. It's not necessarily fermented, but it is definitely kind of a... if you break these things down in the cooking process, then your body can more easily digest them. And as you know, when you're not feeling well, it's difficult to digest food. You know, it's just something that makes you more nauseous. They would cook this stuff up and feed it to you if you needed, like Doug said, some comfort food. And so I happened upon this recipe, which just happened to be in a cookbook called The Cosmic Kitchen. And naturally, I'm all about cosmic kitchens, and so I had to order the cookbook. And I'm going to try this recipe, which is a little different than our traditional chicken and rice recipes. Did your mom cook this on Sundays, Doug?
No, this would have been a weekday thing. And as I recall it, you know, when you cook rice, you can have it, you know, somewhat el dente to the other extreme. And I think my mother's chicken and rice, Sue, was rice that had been cooked beyond the normal serving time. You know, it was more creamy.
Right. My mom actually, and you know, I just can't get it like my mother did. I don't know what the difference is or what she did different, but she put the rice in the bottom of the roaster and then put the cut up chicken on the top. And then she'd cook it while we were at church. And then we would come home and it was just delicious. I'm sure there was onion in it, because I don't think my mother cooked anything without onion in it.
It is good. I'm that way
pretty
too.
Much a staple. Right. And so an onion is kind of good for you anyway. And if you grind it up small enough, your kids don't even know it's in there. But you're right, Doug. It had kind of a creamy taste to it, or creamy texture to it. And that's why congee, and this particular recipe in this Cosmic Kitchen book, was for turmeric congee.
Oh, yummy.
Now, a point of clarification here is that my mom called this turmeric, and she used to make a turmeric pickle that was a beautiful yellow color from the turmeric. And I use it for dyeing my soap, that kind of nice bright yellow. But it's supposed to be really healthy to eat in small amounts. So this was a recipe for turmeric congee. And it's so simple, and I want to try it so bad, but this has been kind of a crazy week for me, so I've just been, like, not cooking. But the weekend's coming, and hallelujah. You know, you cook all weekend long and then you eat leftovers all week while you're working. Works for me.
Well, when you talk about chicken and rice as a porridge or a congee, that gives you the opportunity to do any kind of variation, turmeric or onion or some other, savory vegetable, whatever. Yeah, ginger. You bet. That would be popular in the Southeast or in Asia. It's kind of a platform for whatever you want to flavor it with.
Well, and this recipe with the turmeric in it is simply a cup of brown basmati or jasmine rice, which I do have all three of those kinds of rice, including wild rice. And then you put an exorbitant amount of water in, like up to 8 cups of water or broth. And then you put your half tablespoon of organic turmeric in this. And you let it simmer. And you simmer it for a long, 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 long time, like an hour or so. And you can add more liquid. Or you can do this in the crock pot. You know, like you could put it in low on in the crock pot and go to work. And you'd come home and have this wonderful rice. And then, of course, if you are a vegetarian or you don't feel like thawing out a chicken from your freezer, you can, like you said, you can add maple syrup to it or coconut or nuts or seeds, which I'm a big fan of crushed up walnuts or sunflower seeds on my, you know, for toppings on like oatmeal and stuff like that. But you could put craisins in it or raisins in it. Oh, wait, I just had a thought. Rice pudding. That was something that we had all the time. That would have been kind of like a sweetened version of this.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. The same kind of texture.
Right. Only it's better because it's got cream in and raisins and cinnamon in it.
Yeah. I have typically made this on the more sweet side and usually use millet, actually, instead of rice. Kind of a sweet potato and then, yeah, sugar and dried fruit.
That does sound good. And, you know, millet is an easy-to-grow grain that they say could really feed a lot of people. In this country, we don't eat it at all. Like, we don't know about it, I think, half the times. Or you don't think about millet as being a grain that you could eat like rice or wheat berries. See, you know, like, have you ever done this with wheat berries or rye berries where you make a salad out of those things? By cooking them rather than grinding them into flour, simmering them like rice and then flavoring them. Oh, I love wheat berry salad. And then I have something in my cupboard called frika. Have you ever heard of frika?
No.
I have heard of it and I've forgotten what it is.
I bought a 50-pound bag of it at a organic summit I went to a long, long time ago, and I had never heard of this stuff before. And the story behind frika is that there was a field of wheat in some country somewhere that caught on fire. But rather than waste this green wheat, it wasn't ripe yet, rather than waste it, they kind of like wore down the outside hull by grinding it or, you know, rubbing it between whatever they had and rubbing the charred part off. And they used this green wheat as a rice substitute. And it's amazing. The stuff is so amazing. So you can cook it. You can put it into bread. You can make cold salads like with chopped up vegetables, oil and vinegar, and then this cooked frika. So all of these greens can be like very versatile. But I'm really interested in the cookbook. and rice pudding. Now that we talked about rice pudding, I'm like, boy, these are things that you hardly, people don't do them as often as they did back in my mother's day. Like, you don't go to someone's house and eat rice pudding anymore, unless it's my Aunt Alice or my Uncle Ed. They used to do traditional meals for us. But when I did this one cookbook, the Goodis Essen cookbook that went along with the PBS documentary of the same name, little plug there for you guys. The Strasbourg, I wonder if they're Strasbourg Lutheran ladies or the Catholic ladies, they make a rice stuffing that is very popular when they have their church dinner. And that is basically rice and hamburger, I think, stuck in the cavity of a bird instead of laying underneath it.
Well, if you want to Google, as you suggested, you know, congee or chicken and rice, there's going to be so many recipes. And that's the beauty of it. You know, I like cookbooks too, but it's so convenient to just tap in an inquiry and all of a sudden you see all of these options and maybe get creative because you see other people have been so creative.
Well, right. And you can not only, I mean, if you don't know what something's called, let's say you just walk to your cupboard and you're like, okay, I have a bag of rice and a can of mushroom soup. You can Google can of mushroom soup and rice and you'll get 1,000 recipes.
Right.
And I always, when I was in, I've been cooking for people almost my whole life. When I was in college, I was the cook. And so rather than, we couldn't afford anything. When we lived in this dorm, there was a little kitchen in the basement of this dorm at Wahpeton Science School. And so we would eat a lot of rice with cans of cream of mushroom soup over the top of them because it was just like Hamburger Helper, you know, like rather than buy a box of Hamburger Helper, you can just take those same ingredients out of your cupboard and put them in a pan and cook them and ta-da, you've got a nice meal for a college student. Of course, so that was before ramen noodles.
That's what I was going to say. Mine was hot water with ramen. So not much of a kitchen necessary there. And I think I'm a little older than you.
Oh, gosh, no, you couldn't be. I have a birthday in March, and it's a big one. But I when I still go to the northeastern part of the state and visit my college roommate, who I love dearly, Karen, if you're listening, this one's for you, and John, they ask me to make my deep dish pizza every time I come to their house. And I'm like, that was like 40 years ago. I don't think I can remember how I did it. But yes, cooking is a lot of fun and it is fun to find new recipes. So I would suggest, I will let you know how my Cosmic Kitchen cookbook is once I get it, because it's mostly an herbal-based cookbook. And I've always been very interested in medicinal herbs. And someday I'm going to take a big, long, complicated herb class and become a healer or some, you know, thing like that. Maybe in my next lifetime, but it's always in the back of my mind. So I will let you know.
Well, we can encourage our listeners to look up congee, C-O-N-G-E-E, and see what happens. We check in with Sue Balcom for Main Street Eats every week. Always a pleasure, Sue.
Oh, the pleasure is mine. Thank you.